Good evening. This is part two of broadcast number 687. It's Mae Brussel on KAZU FM in Pacific Grove, California, February the 4th, 1985. Again, I'm going very slowly. I usually talk fast because there's so much to put through in 1 hour with you, and I have a lot of material, but I want to get this very clear. Write to various senators or all the senators. There's only 50 if you wanted to write a letter and copy it. And basically, just change the name, Dear So-and-so or Dear Senator, and write in the name of the senator and say, you don't think that Edwin Meese is fit to be the Attorney General, because there is a lot of information now being put together of the role that he, particularly as a legal advisor to Ronald Reagan, suppressed the assassination teams that were involved with the murder of John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King. And by not allowing Mr. Bradley to go to Jim Garrison to testify or to be cross-examined on why he was in Dallas, I don't say Bradley was in Dealey Plaza, Mr. Brading was in Dealey Plaza at the Dow Tech building, but what he was doing there and his role with Mr. Reverend William Gale and Carl McIntyre and the FBI and the Minutemen and the Nazis involved with this network and the tentacles, again, going down to Oaxaca, Mexico through Mr. Bradley and McIntyre. Edwin Meese is not fit to be the Attorney General because the Kennedy assassination is open for all time, and that will lead to the other murders. That is one case where Meese was absolutely involved, and now there's all this new information because they can't say it's old information. Now, to tell you the kind of people I'm talking about or dealing with, I shared some of this before, and I want to emphasize the point. Your time, our time in this country is running out if you don't take these words seriously. These people are not fools. They are engineers like at Lockheed or work at United Technology or for the Air Force or worked as Army officers in the military. These are not kook people just getting together and shooting in the wind. These are people who have been arrested over and over again that got off on every charge and get away literally with murder over and over again and have powerful people in the government always protecting them. Last May 19th, 1983, there was an article about that woman, Nellie Babs, who talks on a radio station in Kansas City about attacking the blacks and the Jews, the IRS, and other enemies. She doesn't happen to like Catholics personally, but the Catholics figure in a major role in the Knights of Malta with Patrick Frawley, and I could cite, as I did a few of them before, the connecting link to the Vatican connections happens to be Robert Welch of the John Birch Society and H.L. Hunt. As a matter of fact, a researcher obtained for us to share on the air a document that came was a letter correspondence involving the Vatican to H.L. Hunt after the three K's were dead, the two Kennedys and Martin Luther King, to have millions of dollars in South America to begin youth groups and funding organizations in South America from the Vatican through H.L. Hunt. Some of the right wing may not like the Catholics, but the higher level, the Catholics and the Mormons and the Protestants are working very nicely, and a good hunk of Jews work with them. But in May 1983, out of Kansas City on the radio, and I'm sure she's on there all the time, this is just one incident, KTTL, this is the kind of people we're talking about, and these are the radio tapes made by Mr. William P. Gale and James P. Wickstrom. He's of the Posse Comitatus. Senator Joe McCarthy is his hero. John Hinckley was a member of the Posse Comitatus. This is what goes on the tapes in the nighttime broadcast. The Jews are the children of Satan. They all have to die. They all have to go, and she tells them in one way or another. The radio station suggests that listeners learn techniques of guerrilla warfare, including garroting people in their sleep with lengths of rawhide, of hanging public officials, of cleansing the earth of black beasts, set up roadblocks for ambushes for the impending racial Armageddon. It's sure to come. These broadcasts are prepared by two men, Reverend P. Gale, William P. Gale, the same one that is with Mr. Bradley and Clay Shaw, and the other one is James Wickstrom, who is up in Wisconsin, the head of the Posse Comitatus. and all of them use and share the same material, the Nazis or the hundreds of organizations, the Brotherhood, the Order. It's all identity. Their philosophy is made up by the same Gale who came from the Philippines and the OSS in India and into California to begin the organization of systematically ridding this country of every Jew and every black. Just leave those two and let them have the fringe. Let's not talk about the others right now. That's their immediate goal. There are two men described as evangelists. This is a religious phenomena. They're all reverends. Mr. Maurer of the Minutemen and the Nazi Party became a minister also. They are reverends. They are evangelists. With extreme right vigilante, they cross over to the Posse Comitatus. They have sessions on guerrilla warfare training in Kansas and other parts of the country. They're all over the country. They were out here in Los Padres for us. They're at the Mojave Desert. They're in Kansas, Arkansas, and Alabama and Mississippi and all over the United States. There's training camps where they're stockpiling their weapons. And they cited Gordon Call, that tax protester who was murdered. He killed two federal marshals in February of 84, and he was murdered, and he's part of this group. This article on Gale came out in 1983. The KTTL station, the only country music station within a 60-mile radius, gives this kind of talk at 2, 3, and 4 in the morning. The Babses began broadcasting their tapes in June after a visit by William P. Gale and James Wickstrom, the Posse Comitatus evangelists. And they are the Wickstrom has been identified as the national director for counterinsurgency for the Posse Comitatus. And the broadcasts are tapes. They pay a fee for Mr. Gale's Identity Church in California. And there's a donor who is not identified or declined a name who pays for these tapes. Now, even though this is written up in the Turner Diary, which is supposed to be a fiction account, the people obeying the instructions of this book are doing along a nonfiction line. And I mentioned that physics professor from Oregon State University working with the Air Force, working with United Technology. And in the novel, again, I've said this before, the organization is to drop atomic weapons on Israel. In the chapter called The Rope, the streets of Los Angeles are lined with hanged bodies of professors and white persons who married blacks, and the murders will be committed by general citizens rather than execution squads. These are the orders or instructions. Now, this kind of thinking goes back again to Mr. Arturkovich, the Andrea Arturkovich, who's been in this country for a long time. He was supposed to have been deported in the 1950s. He's down there at Seal Beach in Manhattan Beach. And as I said before, this idea of garroting people, of hanging him from ropes, comes from his actual doing and passing along in Yugoslavia at the time that he was a criminal, knowing that he was responsible for the murder of 770,000, maybe a few more or a few less, add them. But his method was garroting and hanging by ropes and putting the swords through these people and parading them around the street. So he's been active down there. Don't think that since the 50s that he just sat there and didn't participate in activities and give these people guidance or ideas. They're using exactly the techniques he did. And as I mentioned a few weeks ago on a broadcast, Cardinal Manning, Timothy Manning, the Roman Catholic Cardinal in Los Angeles, asked for sympathy, that he wanted you to have compassion for Mr. Arturkovich. He kind of apologized this last week, but he meant compassion. That's his buddy. Now, if you think this isn't going on, go one step further. In the Miami Herald, January 29th, there's a story, Radio Liberty is specializing in anti-Semitism. The official running the Munich-based station is none other than the former Senator James Buckley of New York, who is now president of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. Buckley is a Knight of Malta, like his brother, like William Casey and Vernon Walters and Claire Luce, and I'll keep repeating them over and over, James Angleton and Patrick Frawley and all of these people involved in this dirty mess have been knighted, and that is why even though the author of the article in the San Jose Mercury doesn't realize it is truly a holy war. He thinks of it as a holy war for those fundamentalist Christians up north, but it's more than that. It links to the Nazis all over the world and the paymasters of the Vatican getting their fingers in it. Now, this is a story that just came out, as I say, this last week by Lars Frick Nelson. This is the way it goes. Did you know that your tax dollars were being used to transmit anti-Semitic broadcasts into the Soviet Union? The New Republic magazine has reported, and the Senate is investigating and confirmed it is true. Radio Liberty, the United States-controlled radio station from Munich that goes into the Soviet Union, is pro-Tsarist, and it's telling people on the air that the person, the assassin of the Tsar, Nicholas II, his prime minister, was a cosmopolitan, a Jew, that it wasn't Russians, that the revolution, that the bind that they're in is the responsibility of the Jews. And they are reading on the air in 1985, the Chronicles of the Elders of Zion, that were published, these forgeries by Henry Ford, a large supporter of Adolf Hitler, and they're blaming the Jews for the Bolshevik Revolution. This is not the only example, the Miami Herald says, according to listeners and critics of Radio Liberty. The Ukrainian service explained the wartime atrocities against Jews were because so many Jews were Bolsheviks. It didn't say there was a plan to wipe out every Jew, even the banking Jews and the rich Jews and the people in industry and the professionals. It said that the reason Jews had to be killed is that they were Bolsheviks. What is the point of this? The Miami Herald asked. The point is that the Radio Free Europe is anti-Semitic. They want to appeal through bigotry to the anti-communists to push off their problems again on the Jews. They have a tendency to blame the Jews for communism in the Soviet Union, and they're using this on the air. And the critics of Radio Liberty said that the anti-Semitic overtones of many of the broadcasts are not a deliberate policy, but are the result of the U.S. radio station out of control. Radio Liberty is a zoo of petty scores being settled. Well, that apology is an outright lie, because Radio Liberty was set up by Nazi war criminals thick into the murdering, and they're trying to appeal inside the Eastern Bloc again that the Jews got you in the bind. The reason Russia's in control of you now had to do with the Jews. The station says a Munich-based station is nominally under the control of U.S. officials such as James Buckley. The original generation of emigres who fled Russia in the 1920s and 30s were the monarchists, the noblemen, and socialists. Many emigres who left during World War II were recruited for Radio Liberty by the CIA and were Nazi collaborators. It does go on and say that in the story. Many are devout Russian Orthodox, and they want to play into the hands of the Soviet Union and say, your slavery or your bondage is that because the Jew got you into it. Not that Poland and willingly was used and went along with Adolf Hitler in attacking Russia and invading there and doing horrendous mass murders. I was just reading sections of the book Roosevelt and Hopkins, and how in that book it tells how Stalin wrote and said that we need a buffer, that none of you have ever gone through what we have through two wars, and particularly the last war, and that there's no way that they'll ever go through again. It said that this wasn't a war for property, that Hitler went through like Attila the Hun. These were barbarians that had nothing at all to do with the way people even wage war, if war is called civilized, which it isn't. Nobody ever saw a war like Adolf Hitler conducted. And furthermore, the war that's going to come on this soil by the same people is going to be equal to it. This is your chance now. These are the connections. If you want to move, move. If you want to get in touch with people, get in touch. Get in touch with your congressman and move on these broadcasts that I've been doing the past few weeks and that I'll be doing right into the next year, because there's enough material now on these interconnecting links to do about 25 continuous broadcasts I have right here and I've been working on for the past month. Now, the breakthrough of all of this, a lot of the material I had on Bradley and Braining, the breakthrough came in with that shootout. There were several items that changed the whole picture of the research that I'd done for 21 years. One was the shootout up in Washington and the Nazis at Hayden Lake. that broke open the links of Keith Gilbert from the San Quentin Aryan Brotherhood, and Keith Gilbert had an instrumental role in planning the murder of Martin Luther King with the Minutemen in California. He went to jail for planning it and having the weapons, but then King's murder later ties into these very same people. And Richard Butler, the engineer from Lockheed, who worked with Mr. Wheat and Mr. Reverend Gale, who has this meeting on his compound with Manfred Roeder, the top Nazi who's now in jail. His wife attends the conferences, and as I say, Mr. Erlinger, with their links to the entire Galen network down in South America. The shootout in November and the connections of world commerce to Mr. Donovan and the OSS and Clayshaw were two of the big breakthroughs just at the end of the last year, the beginning of this year. And another major breakthrough to the connections of these links of the worldwide Nazis and to Reverend Moon and John Singh Laub came during 1983 through the entire year of the links of Western Goals and the Board of Western Goals to the Los Angeles Police Department. And, of course, the Board of Directors of Western Goals is a who's who of military Nazi intelligence operations and their computers into the police departments. The Falwell role in the nomination of the president of Ronald Reagan and the surfacing of the new right with the Armageddon philosophy as of the conventions in Dallas again this last August in 83 brought the story of Bradley and Braining to a new place, because it is Falwell's belief, and he says it, it is sermons and so forth, that every Jew on planet Earth has to burn. This is the tribulation period, and he goes into the glorious second coming of Christ after the earth is rid and scorched of all the Jews and non-believers of Jesus Christ, his Lord. He can't come back till all the Jews are killed, and they will all die. So while this Mr. Pierce is writing the Turner Diary, a guy with military background in the United States, and Mr. Butler from Lockheed and an engineer is running the Aryan Nations, the Falwell religious right is running the idea synchronized with them. So what you hear on Kansas City at 2 and 3 in the morning about learning how to garrote and how to poke and kill isn't any different than what Falwell's doing. They're just telling you the methods to do it, and Falwell's telling you it has to happen. And all of these things, just as I said, at the end of 1984 and this month of January, I've spent outlining various books. Now, my library must be filled with books on the Kennedy assassination and the far right, but I'm just going to cite several for you now that are important to this research that I've been outlining and David Emery has been doing, that we're trying to get this together. There's 9 books and 1 article that I've been working on this past month. This is one reason why I want privacy and time, because I'm making headway with what I wanted to know and what I can share with you that's more important than everyday conversations on the phone. In chronological order, the books that I'm working on that I've cited before that are important to this case, one is the book The John Birch Society in California Politics in 1966 by Brian Stevens. And this has to do with John Birch of the OSS and Wild Bill Donovan of the OSS and Claire Chennault and the potential of violence, of bringing violence into the streets of America through Robert Welch and the forming of the John Birch Society and its links to Colonel Willoughby and to General Walker and Reverend Billy Hargis and the Christian Crusade, the Christian Front, the Birch Society. This book is an important one that I'm outlining. The next book came out in 1970. As I said, I'm putting them in the chronological order. 1970, The Nomenclature of an Assassination Cabal by David Copeland and Bill Boxley, formerly of the CIA. They're both dead now. They passed away not too long ago. And this goes into Carl McIntyre and Roy Cohn, who's on the board of Western Goals with John Singh Laub and that gang. I'm rereading and studying the Torbett document. I spent months outlining it when I got it in 1970. Now I'm going through it again to see it with another eye. Power on the Right by William Turner, 1971. A key book into all the prime people involved and their links and connections to the Minutemen, the Nazi Party, to William Gale, and as I say, now this new story with Gale up north, it takes them up to Idaho. This was written in 71. Mr. Swift, the Reverend Swift, who had the congregation in Palmdale that where Identity was formed, and William Gale took over from there, and Mr. Butler, who formed the Aryan Nations, he went up north in 1973. So when Bill Turner's book came out in 71, Richard Butler wasn't up north, and they hadn't started their work there. Another book is The Dallas Conspiracy by Peter Dale Scott. All of these books, incidentally, except maybe the Peter Noyes, it's hard to get, the Legacy of Doubt. Maybe we'll have to reprint those and get those sold, and I'll try and see if we can get permission to copy those and get those out to you. Research in Aptos has these books, most of them. The Dallas Conspiracy by Peter Dale Scott has to do with these characters in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but again, it was completed in 1971 and has no links. Well, it talks about Colonel Charles Willoughby, but none to the national and international Nazi operation. Another small book, 1975, by W.R. Morris. This is on the assassination of John Kennedy, and he fingers Eugene Hale Brading, the fellow that was at the Daltex and at the Cabana Hotel and with Jack Ruby and H.L. Hunt, and he names personally two people important in the assassination. Incidentally, he was flown and interviewed by Tom Snyder, NBC's Tomorrow Show, and then the officials were afraid to air it, and of course Snyder was taken off the air, so you don't get much information out of the national network. He fingers two people, John Russolo and Edwin Walker. Now, Walker has the links to Larry and Volkmar Schmidt in Munich, Germany, the Nazis in Germany, and to Clayshaw and Young Americans for Freedom, set up by William Buckley, the Knight of Malta, and Robert Morris, the Knight of Malta in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. The gang, the 19 guys that came in from Munich that were excluded from the index of Sylvia Marr's book on the Kennedy assassination. I keep throwing that in because these names didn't appear there. That's why they're not household words to you, even though they were in the 26 volumes of the Warren Commission hearings. John Russolo was the West Coast representative of the John Birch Society, and he was also instrumental in the career of Ronald Reagan. In fact, he writes, the John Birch Society was instrumental in helping Reagan defeat Edmund Brown. Russolo has been a supporter of Reagan's for many years. And I mentioned in regard to the Birch Society, John Russolo. That's why Edwin Meese should not be nominated the Attorney General, because we have to go into the Edwin Walker, Russolo connections to these various characters on the assassination. In 1970, the assassination of Robert Kennedy. Again, a book by Bill Turner, another one by Bill Turner, and it mentions many of these characters and is very important for interconnecting links that now go one more space. This was in 1978. The Cola Wars in 1980 by Jay Lewis and Harvey Yassinian. Now, they make no acknowledgement of Nazis, international, domestic, or otherwise. This book is about Pepsi-Cola, part of the World Commerce Corporation, and the connecting links not only to Dallas and Clint Murchison and Richard Nixon and Lyndon Johnson down there, but then how they spread to South America with J. Peter Grace, and I'll be doing more on that. How one corporation or two, such as Elmer Bobst and his drug company, the fellow behind Richard Nixon's career, or in the Pepsi-Cola Wars, Mr. Kendall, Uncle Elmer and Mr. Kendall, and how they made Richard Nixon the president. John Kennedy was murdered. Robert Kennedy was murdered. Martin Luther King wasn't going to run for president, and then they were home free. Then the book in 1982, The Last Hero, on Wild Bill Donovan. I have read a lot on the CIA. I hadn't spent much time cross-filing and putting into charts or diagrams the importance of the OSS, and suddenly realized in the role of bringing Nazis to this country and the deals they made in Bern, Switzerland, and with John McCloy and in Algeria, putting the Nazis in power there, that so much was going on when the war was winding down with the OSS that I started diagramming this and charting out where these characters were. And then finally, well, maybe I'll have time for a few more things, but I want to just update you now on that article, and I'll be referring to it over and over again, that I wrote on the 20th anniversary of John Kennedy. I'm going to cite certain sentences and then tell you what I've learned in 1 year that's apropos to what we're talking about now. I don't have a page number here to cite it. Okay, this is from The Rebel, and it's in the section under 1960, from page 27 it is. Okay, Otto Skorzeny codenamed his assault on American soldiers Operation Condor. His father-in-law, Hallmar Schacht, was the president of Hitler's Reichsbank. And I went on and said, Clay Shaw, who was charged by New Orleans Jim Garrison with complicity in the Kennedy assassination, was a close friend of Hallmar Schacht. What I didn't know that Mr. Erlinger, the name Erlinger from Buffalo, New York, was a close associate and wanted to bring Skorzeny into our Defense Department and see our military installations, and that he works with Richard Butler and the Aryan Nations up in Idaho in the Northwest, and with the computers from Dallas and throughout the United States. I didn't know about Richard Butler at that time. Then I went on in 1952. I talked about Otto von Bolschwing of the Gestapo, who worked with the various Nazis in this country, represented Reinhard Gehlen. In 1952, Nikolai Malaxa, the Nazi from the Iron Guard, moved to Richard Nixon's office in Whittier, California, and was close to Otto von Bolschwing. What I didn't know then that I learned this past year and just recently, I had in the files but forgot, that Otto von Bolschwing was close to Wild Bill Donovan in 1939. Before we even entered the war, Hitler had already been into Poland and had taken many of the countries we weren't going into after Pearl Harbor. He was close to Mr. Donovan and the corporate heads, but particularly Donovan, who was forming the OSS just at that time. William Stevenson had come from Great Britain to Washington, D.C. to form the OSS, and Otto von Bolschwing was working with Donovan at that time. Now, I wrote under the 1960 elections, continuing Richard Nixon versus John Kennedy, that before the elections of 1960, a group within the Christian right planned to kill John Kennedy in Van Nuys, California. They're members of the anti-Castro Cubans, the Minutemen, and homegrown Nazis. Some were sought by Jim Garrison following the arrest of Clay Shaw. Garrison wanted the extradition of Edgar Eugene Bradley, and Governor Reagan refused to sign for it. What I didn't put in the article at the time was that Edwin Meese, the future attorney general, was the man who prohibited the extradition of Bradley as a legal advisor. Now, all the time I was writing the article, Bill Turner was here saying, that's too long, and he was cutting out the very pertinent parts, even though he's written two marvelous books on this subject, and I'll go into that, what happened here again for some of you, but it's a complicated story, but I couldn't put all the things in I wanted, and I got more than they wanted me to put in, but Larry Flint wanted it in. Now, what I didn't realize was that Edwin Meese would be nominated for the Attorney General, a very important part. I said the leader of one of these groups, the Christian Defense League, was the Reverend William P. Gale, and I mentioned his links in the Philippines during the war. I didn't know that Gale is the man making cassettes and distributing information to kill every Jew and every black in the United States. I was writing about the Kennedy assassination and the Nazis and their links, but Reverend Gale in 1985, this is 1 year since the article was completed, is making tapes and has the intention and the goal, working with engineers, scientists from the Defense Department and police departments and the FBI, for the process of getting rid of every Jew and every black in America. I wrote about the Christian Defense League contacts with Captain Robert K. Brown from Fort Benning, Georgia, who had mercenary teams of anti-Castro Cubans similar to Skorzeny's teams. What I didn't realize when I wrote about him and Mitchell Werbel and the Silencers was that Brown's Soldier of Fortune was started by John Singlaub of Western Goals, World Anti-Communist League, with Skorzeny's Nazis in South Central America and Southeast Asia and Egypt. That Brown is directly linked to the Nazis and John Singlaub. In the year since I wrote that, I have gotten from some great researchers the links of Singlaub and Brown and Soldier of Fortune that I didn't have then. And I mentioned the Silencers and the Bay of Pigs and Mitchell Werbel. Now, I wrote about the Permandex operation and the plans of J. Edgar Hoover working with Division 5 and Clay Shaw to assassinate John Kennedy, and the links to Otto Skorzeny and the Borghese family, the black nobility with their death squads and planned coups in Europe for fascist regimes. When I wrote that, I was not aware, or if I had the book, that Clay Shaw met with Reverend Gale in California, Mr. Bradley. I did not connect until just recently, of course, the Gale who wants to do all these murders and drop atomic bombs, wipe out Israel and wipe out the Jews, is directly linked to Bradley, who Reagan wouldn't extradite, and to Clayshaw and Hallmar Schacht and all the Nazis. So in the year that I wrote that article, I'm extending it now to get a book out to put in all these pieces, and that's one of the things I really am anxious to do. If you want to send for the bibliography of this broadcast, send a self-addressed stamped envelope and just say you want the sheet that goes with broadcast number 687, May Brussels, P.O. Box 22511, Carmel 93922. I'll send that to you so that you will be more knowledgeable and can write or call the various senators and tell them that Edwin Meese and Ronald Reagan covered this up, but Meese was the legal advisor, and they link to the Nazis in Idaho, and that he should not be the attorney general, and let this all be cleared up. This is Mae Brussels, and I'll be back with you next week to continue some more on this subject.